I say, on Sunday morning. It's good to see all your faces here today. Today is our ministry Sunday, where we talk about ministries, we talk about those things. And our newest ministry is our men's house. So I want to give Carl a little bit sharing about how things have worked for him in the last 10 months and 9 months, and what's going on, what he's learned, and give him a few minutes to share and let you know how the men's house is going. You all know that you that's been with us for a while. The men's house was supposed to be our first ministry. It's been a while, but we got it up and going.
This has been a new adventure for me. My wife was called into ministry, we kind of wrote God that blank check. Wherever you want us to go, we'll go. And we thought it was going to, it started out being I was a youth pastor for 7 years. And then I went to Bible college. And by the time I was done with my Bible college, it changed from youth pastor to pastor. And that was a whole different world for me. Because youth are easy to work with. They're a little crazier, but they're easy to work with because you can still mold them. You can still direct them. They're not set in their ways. They aren't convinced that they've got the world by the tail yet. So you can still do something with them. Whereas adults, we are set in our ways. We're hard to work with. We're hard to change. We're convinced that we're right and you ain't going to change us. And my first church, I had a fella. I was there about 6 weeks. And I was sitting there and he said, "Well, preacher, I'm going to put it this way. You ain't going to change me. I'm going to be how I am." And like that. I said, "Well, how about I just come in, I'll be your pastor, I'll preach God's word, and we'll let God change you." He said, "I can deal with that." Because he grew up in that church. He was about 70 years old. And he was not liked by hardly anybody. Matter of fact, he even got kicked out of a grocery store because he threw a bag of dog food at the sales clerk. So he was that kind of rough guy. But by the end of the 4 years that I was there, he liked me. He didn't like very many people either. And so that taught me a lot. And then when I come here, after this is like the fourth, fifth place of ministry. And when I told God anywhere, I never thought a men's home. And so when I come here, this was a totally different world because it's dealing with people that's the kind of people Jesus would deal with. Matter of fact, it is the people Jesus dealt with. It's actually the kind of people Jesus was outside of sinning. Jesus was homeless. Jesus was around the down and outers. Matter of fact, the only people that really gave him a problem was the church people. So I get to work with people who, some of them, they're not at the bottom of their barrel yet. And that's okay. But there are some of them that's hit that rock bottom. And I like dealing with that kind. You say, "Well, that's kind of weird." Yes, I am. But it teaches us. I have learned a lot. I've probably learned more from these fellas than they've learned from me. I think we've helped. We've had 36 people, I think, come through the house in the last 9 months. Some of them stayed till the end of the intake. Some of them, they filled everything out, went to the soup kitchen. By the time they realized all the have-tos, they didn't come back, and that's okay. But there's some of them, we graduated. And that's a blessing. We made a difference in their lives. If they don't even come back to here, and if they go somewhere else, that's okay. If they come back, don't come back here and they go nowhere else, at least we planted that seed. Because I tell them when they come in, I say, "We will not cram Jesus down your throat. However, you will hear about him often." And they do. And there's been some that's been saved. There's been some that's rededicated their life. There's some that realize they need God back in their life. But you know, that's all of us. And a lot of these guys, I can relate to them, not because I've been through what they've been through, but my immediate family has. I can see my brothers in them. I can see my dad in them. I can see where I'd be had I made the choices that I had. And I know where I'd be had it not been for the church. When I was young, because my dad wasn't there, I had guys in the church that took me under their wing. They said, they invested in me. Church, I want to challenge us that when people come into their houses and they come into our church, that we help them not make this a have to. We befriend them. We challenge them to keep God in their lives. Because each and every one of us, had we not kept God in our life, we'd be out there. We know where we'd be. I want to challenge us. Befriend these guys. They're all nice guys. We got a good group of guys. We got 8 of them in the house right now. It's the second time we've been full. And that's good. Encourage these guys and these ladies. There have been several ladies who have been saved and baptized. One this morning. Man, that's good. That's great. It's something to celebrate. But we can't let it end there. Our ministry don't end when they graduate from program. This has been a total new phase that God has showed me of people. He's grown me some in the last 9 months. I've got a good staff. We got a new guy that he's a member of a different church here in town. Got a good staff working with us. Has everything been smooth always? No. And it won't. Because I learned from my brother-in-law was my greatest mentor in ministry. And he taught me this. He said, the greatest and worst thing about ministry is we work with people. If it wasn't for people, ministry would be great all the time. But we work with people. And folks, we're all broken people. We all got cracks. We all got chips. We're just plain people. And that's what I love about this church. I've known Jimmy for almost 15 years. And that's been him. He's been plain. I'm plain as peanut butter and jelly. When I come to church, I expect to meet God. You know, there's a lot of times I have. God is here. He has been moving. I've seen, 11 of them light bulbs light up since I've been here in 9 months. 11 people, folks. That is awesome. You know how many churches wish they had one in 9 months? If that don't tell you God is moving here, nothing will. I'm thankful for God calling me here, leading me here. I'm thankful for the leadership of Jimmy and the other pastors here. I'm thankful for God moving and allowing me to be part of it.
All right, well, I appreciate that, and knowing, I don't know about your allergies, but mine's out of whack right now, but it is what it is, right? So I appreciate the word there, Carl. There's some things here I just want to share with you. Well, Carla was going to come up and talk about the women's, but she's got nursery. She's got better duty. She gets to play with kids in there. So I don't know. I looked in there, and I was like, man, they look like they're all over her. But she was smiling, so I think she's enjoying that this morning. But so I just want to say, as the pastor here, just want to say, I do want to thank the guys at the men's house. I want to thank Carl. You know, was praying about that last December, and then I saw Tina at the mall, and it just spurred right there, and then God just kept working that, and it worked out, and God brought you here, and I'm appreciative of the team there. Our guy that we hired, our recent guy is Kirk. He's there. But even Pastor Phil Jones, you know, our discipleship pastor here, he's serving over there, and I appreciate that. And Jeremy, he lives over there. So Jeremy's there. So let me just tell you about house managers. House managers, Pam is over here for the ladies. House managers almost have to be like drill sergeants. It's just the way it is. Sometimes they're not sure why things are working in the house the way it's supposed to because they see a lot of stuff. And I'm thankful for both of you, too, that you're in there and out of there all the time. So, you guys, I think we need to give those guys, and I know Deb, where Deb's at, she serves there. Rebecca serves there. And I just think if you work in the ministry, just stand up. I want to give you guys a big thank you today. All of you that work in the life houses, thank you guys. Yeah. Thank you. Very much appreciative of that. The pay, the pay is very low, but their hearts are big. And, you know, the rewards in heaven will be much bigger. I'm always wrestling with I always want to do more. I always want to do more. And I'm praying that we can in the future. I always tell people we don't sell a product. We don't sell service. We are at the mercy of the Lord and his partners. And I'd rather be there, though, than in any other place. And God is taking care of us, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And so I'm just thankful, and the mill ministry is still up and running. Bob's on vacation again. Who can do that? Vacation after vacation, but that's okay. Bob does a great job down at the mill, and I know Susan's kind of there helping a lot too. But, the mill's been up and running it's been up and running for a long time, since 2007. And, I want to ask this for a second. I want Scott and Deb to stand up for a minute, and I want Mike and Joe to stand up for a minute. I want you guys to stay standing up just for a minute. So these two couples here are very special to me. One, Scott and Deb opened up their house for this church to meet in their home. Started on a Wednesday night, and I was very thankful for that. But there's also a time when I was figuring out what to do, and I want to tell you today, I know, I'll just keep standing. I am wearing my same shoes. One looks like the one on the left, looks like one on the right. There was a time I went to church one time, and somebody called me out on after church and said, "I don't want to embarrass you, Pastor, but you have two different shoes on." So it was in my first year of preaching, and I was very nervous a lot, so I'll throw myself under the bus. But God was patient, too. And God was waiting for a specific moment to get us to a specific place and time. And in 2006, I always thought it was 2005, but I had to go back. It was 2006. 5 years later, God says, "It's time to show you what and why I brought you to Huntington." And it's for these ministries. And so I called the state convention, and I was like, "Well, we got to go down to Florida to look at a church that is doing what God's called us to do." And we didn't have any money, so I called down, and they gave us the money for a van. And we took down Deb and Scott and Joda and Mike and a couple other, I think it was another couple of me and Carla, correct? Was there six? And and Jerry and Diane, they're still part of this church too. They were here a couple weeks ago. So I want to just tell you that there are still the majority, the six out of the eight people, right? There was four couples. Three of those couples are still here. And when we went into that so-called promised land, came back the very next Sunday, when we came back, I had no room to preach. I wanted them to give their report. And I'm so thankful that they weren't like the spies that spoke negatively of the promised land, but they were like Joshua and Caleb. And God said, "There is a different spirit in them." And there is a different spirit. There's a Holy Spirit that's in these guys. And so I want to say thank you guys for continuing to stick here. Amen. I was disappointed about one thing in this trip. We got ready to get in the van, and Mike said, and I was so looking for it, Mike says, "I request one thing, we don't go to a Waffle House." And I turned to Carl, and I was like, "I was dreaming of going to a Waffle House." But I will tell you, whenever we go to Missouri, I'm hitting a Waffle House. It's all good. I get it. We can be different, but we had a great time. Carla asked me, and we were on the beach. We took one day on this beach, and we were all on the beach, and I just kind of took a walk down to the beach, and those boardwalks are always further than you think. So I was walking down on the beach, and Carla came up and said, "Hey, you got to slow down." I was like, "No, nobody's going anywhere. I just need a moment just to pray." Do you know what we just saw? The future of New Life. There's a lot of buildings, a lot of upkeep, a lot of people. Their church runs 2,000 people. They have two private schools. They got a lot of stuff. All their buildings were all knocked out, and they were all brand new buildings. But God chose us to give us buildings that are all 100 years old. 100 years old. They have a very large staff. They have a lot of great things, and it took a lot of faith for that. They even made a movie about it. But I would just say, if they made a movie about what we did, you know what it would be? the church that started with nothing. And God supplied everything. There's not one person here that could write a check for anything. So we are working through what God has called us to do. And we had this revival that was last week. And I think it was, each night was unique in itself. It was the theme, Be the Church. Tuesday night was, Wednesday night was great. Monday night was great. Tuesday night was my kicker. Tuesday night was the piece that God just kind of spoke. And I was talking about going to Colorado, seeing this whatever lake on the top of this mountain. But then again, when you get up there and all the work, and all of a sudden you see two more peaks. And the Holy Spirit was just moving on me. It's like, you haven't seen everything that I want to do yet. So I was like, what? I mean, come on, we're looking at all this. It's how much more can we do? But isn't it true? There's nothing impossible with God. That God, you just don't know all that God has for you. And so in 2001, I'm still trying to put on the right pair of shoes. Back then, I may have sang a solo. I would dare not do it today. But God was allowing it to grow. And then next thing you know, you got a meal ministry, soup kitchen, growl a great responsibility. We opened up the women's life house, great responsibility. We opened a second house, great responsibility. We opened up a third, the men's house, great responsibility. God's not finished. God is not finished. I want to read some the things that I go back to out of the book of Philippians. I want to bring about three pieces today. They won't be long, but I want to share with them to you today what I go to. I was wanting to finish up Nehemiah today, but the Lord said, no, we need to share how I get through these things when I go through these slumps from time to time, and I'm not sure how we're going to get this or that. But Philippians is a great book on how you can preach a year in Philippians. Just Philippians. It is so awesome. Chapter 1 of Philippians, it says, I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, I want to remind you that that's not about buildings, because churches do open and they do close. Sometimes there is a birth and there is a death of a church building, but the people are the church. Ministries is in the hands of people. The tools are just the buildings. Well, what did he say? He says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you. The one who started the good work here is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know my story, it's not what I wanted to do. It's to preach God's word. I wanted to live out my dreams. Well, when something happens when you tell the Lord you'll do whatever he wants you to do, and you give your life to Jesus. It's one thing to give your heart to Jesus. It's another to give your life. And when you give your life, you'll see that God will call you to do something bigger than yourself. And sometimes even that's just to get out of bed on time. That's bigger than yourself when you're one of those people. Believe me, that Carla used to be one. She's not in here. I can say it. Woman would never want to get up in the morning. Never. But she's got this thing now. She likes to work out. And she beats me up sometimes getting work up in the morning. It's funny how things will change when you have a heart for something. But here we see, he says, that the Lord, he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion. But I also want to remind you that Satan also wants to discredit you on your walk with him. On your walk with the Lord. That Satan wants to throw out things and other roads and trails and doors and other opportunities that's not of the Lord to get you to get off the road that God has for you. If you're going through some things in your life right now that are not good and you're trying to get your life back with Christ, don't worry about all the other stuff. Get your life right with Christ. Don't worry about serving all those other things. Don't worry about leaning into ministry works so much. Get your life right with God. But when God calls you to do something, he's going to work it out. He is going to work it out. That's what he's going to do. He's going to work it out. He didn't call you because you're great. He calls you because he chose you to do something. When he does that, he does it because he has a plan. And God has a plan for New Life Ministries. New Life Fellowship, he has a plan. I want you to turn over to chapter 2. Another scripture that helps me get through things. Verse 13, for it is God who is working in you. I like that right there, right off the bat. God is working in you. So God is working in you. He's working in me, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purposes. The first piece we see is that God is working. God is working in you. You serve here, you minister here, God is working through you. But he's enabling you to do two things. One, to have a desire to do what you do. When you don't have a desire to do what you're doing in ministry, you're in the wrong place. You need to step aside. But I've been doing that for 5 years. Who else is going to do it? Don't worry about it. Step aside. Come see me and say, I'm not to do this anymore. It's okay. I don't have a desire. If you don't have a desire in it, it's okay. Step aside. We don't want people that's in positions and doing things if you don't have a desire for it. Amen? You need to have a desire. But God says if he called you to it, he's going to work in you, and he's going to give you the desire to do it. But also, and to work out his good purposes. He's going to give you the desire. He's going to give you the working part, the strength to do it. To get it done, you're going to work out his good purposes. You see, when you give your life, when you give your heart to Jesus, you can still do things that you want to do. You haven't given him your life. Giving your heart, you should be giving him your life. But we struggle with that. We give him a heart, we give him our life. When we give him our life, God will begin to use us in a way that is for his good purposes. And God's got some good purposes. I'm going to share a couple of those as well. And then I want you to turn over to chapter 4. Another one that helps me a lot, and I have to work through this one from time to time. It's a very simple verse, but it's easy to read. You know me, reading scripture is good. Understanding it and the content is good, but to experience it takes faith. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, 4:19, it's great. But just saying it and wearing it on your shirt, you've got to live it out. Okay? And that comes with testing of your faith at times. This one here as well, 4:19. I said the wrong verse. I don't know. And my God will strengthen, or my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What does that say? Now my God will supply all your needs according to his riches. One, I know this, God owns everything. So it tells me that God owns everything, but it's according to his glory. We're doing ministries not for our glory, but for his. We're here today because God calls us to be here, to follow in to that fourth commandment, to keep the Sabbath holy. We're going to worship. We're going to worship God today. That's what we're doing. But God will supply all your needs. These allergies are tough this morning. Sorry about that. But needs are not always money. We always want to say that it always seems to be money. Sometimes it's personnel. Sometimes it's materials. This ministry, this church, has struggled through times. But God has always supplied. Some of the things that God has supplied for, there were times when we needed space. We left Scott and Deb's home. We had another home, Seymour's home. We were on Sunday mornings. We ended up in a place, I think it was Kevin and Dave's building that are members here. We rented upstairs. We needed more space. We got downstairs. We needed something, opportunity. We went across the street. And then when the furnace and all the boiler went out, we had no place to go. We had a need. Then God brought it to us. We didn't come over here. The members of this church came over, knocked on the door, heard you were looking for a church. And we moved over here. Sometimes it is a physical place. We needed a place to start our women's life house. We needed a meal ministry place. When the city said, you need to get out of the building you're in. You have 30 days. What? How do you move a meal ministry soup kitchen in 30 days when you don't even have a place? So you pray about it. You go over and you say, this is what we need more time. We'll give you more time. We'll give you 90 days. But after 30 days, you're all liability. We have no liability with you. And you pray about it. And God supplies the need with the building we have on Jefferson Street with an apartment on top. Amazing. Amen? That's amazing peace. We needed another building, and God gave us one in an auction at $50. We needed something else for the men, and God put it right next to the church. Have you noticed that all of our buildings except for one are on this same block? Only God can do that. If a company tried to do it, they'd have to come in with a lot of money and buy a lot of houses out. Or they would have to put one here, one down on another block, one on another block. This is God's thumbprint, putting every single building on this block except for the soup kitchen. And it is exactly where it needs to be, down on the main street. As just where, if I had to stop right now, can you not tell that God is involved in these ministries? But then there's times when we are financially not sure where we are. I've come to a place before. I remember in the beginning and be like, ooh, Lord, what are we going to do? My faith has always been, I have the spirit. You know me, I have the spiritual gift of faith. But the spiritual gift of faith also becomes tested. It needs to be refined. It needs to be shut. So there's times when I'm like, whoa, what's happening here? And then sometimes God will get you down to the bare wire. What's the bare wire? Well, when payroll needs to be. Or when you're coming up on a moment where you're not sure if you're going to get a house, or you're not sure if something's going to work out, but time frame is there, like the mill ministry, a time frame at the auction was there. Do you know that we got that building for exactly what we said we were going to go in at our peak? We went in and said, we are going to do $30,000 for this building. Well, a person in our church came back. I don't care who, they don't care if I say it, Jerry and Diane. Jerry was with me. We walked in and Jerry said, let's step outside for a moment, I want to talk to you. We stepped outside and he said, Jerry, me and Diane, we'll do another $2,500. I'll say, okay, so $2,500. So $30,000 plus $2,500 is $32,500. We got that building in the auction at $32,500. Does that not say that God is precise? Not 32, not 30, not 32,49, but 32,500. Exactly what we walked into. God is precise. God has precision. But there are times when your faith does get rocked a little bit. Even if you have the spiritual gift of discernment, you can't discern something, but you know you have the gift and you're really stuck. So sometimes we struggle with things. And if you think, well, if you've got the spiritual gift of something, you ought to know. Well, I would challenge you to go back and read the book of Daniel. Even Daniel was struggling with a few things, and he had very strong discernment and very strong things that God has given to him. And even if you go back and look at Nehemiah, there were a few moments there as well. But there were moments when we were struggling with finances. There are moments when we weren't sure. I wasn't sure. But I know this, you go until God says stop. We have a fourth house. We have a fourth house. I don't know, most of you have not seen it, but if you know where the Women's Life House is, the main one with the office, it's right next door. Right next door. And right next door, we got that house was something I was not interested, I really wasn't interested in. I mean, I was, but I wasn't. Because I talked to the guy, and it was going to be $99,999, $100,000 home. And Carla said, hey, you just need to go over and check that out a little bit more. I'm like, I don't know. So I went over and I prayed about it, talked to the guy. Long story short, he just said, hey, you know what? I want to give it to you guys, but I can't. I owe money on it. I owe money on it, and I owe some back taxes. I flip homes. It's a $65,000 house. I'm like, wow. The church that we're sitting in right now, we paid $70,000 for. It's the most expensive building we bought. And higher than the mill ministry, higher than the men's. Men's was, I think, 26. The second women's house was $50, and the first house was $21,000. This house is $65,000. I'm like, man, there's just no way. But I went back and I left, and I was like, I'm just not sure about that, sir. And I walked across the church parking lot, got over here where Jeremy's best friend started barking at me. And it just hit me. God said, why don't you go back and ask for a time frame? So I went back and asked him for a time frame. And he said, I said, how much time would we have to gather up 65,000? He says, you got like 3 weeks. Like 3 weeks. Okay. So I said, well, all I can do, went back to my office, wrote down seven names, just wrote it. And some of you know the story. I'm going to conclude it with this. That money there, the ministry had some money, the church had some money. We did go for a grant. We got word that we were going to get the grant for $10,000. I made one phone call, that was $20,000, and then made a visit with somebody to share the story, and that was $25,000. We had $65,000 in about a week. Now, the foundation, the church kicked in $10,000, the ministry kicked in $10,000, and anyway, and the foundation kicked in the $10,000 to replace $10,000 of that. But anyway, so we have a house that we want to use for children. Now, we are really, I was like, this is the odd part. Most of the things, when you're looking for a building, it takes time, a lot of time. But it's always funny how God, when he does something, we always think he's slow, right? We always think he's slow. But sometimes it is very, very, sometimes we want God to do something right now. But sometimes God does it before you even know it. I did not expect to get $65,000 in that short of time. That short of time. Do you know the one that gave $20,000 out of Atlanta area? Never will ever come here. You'll never see him. The other one, you may see him maybe if I can get him here for a tour, but just share the story with him. And he wrote a check for $25,000. So God is preparing us to take in children. Now, we're not sure what all that's going to look like, but I have a meeting this week, and I'm going to be working in getting into more of the details. We should know something by the end of this week. So as much as we have men and women in our programs, and we've had children in our second house, and we continue to have that, we're also going to be getting children in another aspect. So we're going to be working on that as well. And there is a couple here I'm working with, talking about, praying about, seeing if it's going to work for them. But this is what I know. Can I just share something? I'm going to share something with you. I didn't plan on sharing this, but this is what I want to share. All I am is a spearhead guy. That's it. I want to say this. There's been a lot of people that have been a part of what we've done. The people that are leading this church is the youth from 12 to 15 years ago. And one day, Gary and Scott and Deb and me and Carla, we're gonna be gone. And you're gonna be in our spots. But my job is to help keep it steady right now, and to place everything that I can in to make sure things go well. But there's a time when it's gonna be out of my hands. It's gonna be out of your hands as a treasurer. It's gonna be out of your hands working in the ministries. It's going to be out of your hands. It's going to give to a new generation. And I would tell you, I would give you, and I think everyone that's my age or older, but been there through all this stuff, would say this: remember these scriptures, because you're going to need them. It's not going to be icing on a cake. I have three mentors on my shelves, and when I call them now, they're not so much more mentors. Don't take it wrong if you're elderly. It's fine. Well, one is 91, and now it's 5, 10, 15-minute conversations are now down to 90 seconds. Can't keep his breath. Another one that I call from time to time is, it's good, but we just don't talk about a whole lot of church things because they got illnesses and things. And things are turning. And I asked a peer friend of mine, what does it mean to be, where's our mentors? And that's what I said, where's our mentors at? And basically I said, we're the mentors now. I'm like, whoa. A lot of responsibility. So I want to remind you, you that are young and are going to be a part of this church, you need to dig down. What you're learning today, you're going to have to put in practice. Start practicing using it today, because down the road, I'm not going to be there for phone calls. You're going to have to figure it out. And I can tell you this. I would challenge you to use the same scriptures from God's Word. Use God's Word. It will always work. When it says, God will supply all your needs according to His riches and His glory in Christ Jesus. It worked for me. It worked for this church. It's going to continue to work. When it says, for it is God who is working in you and enabling you both to desire and to work out His good purpose. It is God. You're going to know that it is God who does that. And you're going to also, when you get to a point when you're discouraged, you're going to read, I am sure of this, that He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You'll never do ministry like me, and you don't need to. You pastors don't need to preach like me, and I don't need to preach like you. You need to do it as God's called you to. Pastors' wives, you need to support your husband, even when he's messing up in some of his whatever he's doing, not sinful stuff, but he's messing up in his preaching, and his heart's not in it. You need to push him and prod him a little bit. Church, you need to love your pastors. You need to love the people in the church, those have had, as Carl has said, those that don't look like you, you need to keep loving on them. If you think God has blessed us and me in this ministry and you that are serving now, you wait and see what God has for you. I pray it's bigger than what we're doing. I pray that it's bigger, but I also pray that God doesn't give you so much that your head puffs up, that you think that you've arrived. This is what I know this morning. The ministries are beautiful. The ministries are beautiful. But if you take your eyes off of Jesus and you put them on the ministries and you fall in love with the ministries, you are in love with the wrong thing. You're in love with the wrong one. You need to be in love with Jesus. Let Him lead. He's got so much more for us, but we can't afford to be the Church of Ephesus, where we're doing more works than we did at first, but we don't love Him like we used to. I'm on the watchtower right now. This is my time. I'm a watchman on the wall. Ed Kratz, you're a watchman on the wall. Carl, you're a watchman on the wall. Mr. Jones, you're a watchman on the wall. Deb, you're on a watchman on the wall. But there's a time when our tour of duty will be over. And no longer will you that are younger be running around at the bottom listening for the orders. You're going to be taking your stand in the towers, being the watchman on the wall. And you need to know that there comes a sense of responsibility. People are going to look for things. They're going to ask, why are things happening? How is this going to get supplied? How are we going to get through this? And every one of your answers should always be, we're going to Jesus. We're going to go and pray to God. When you look at each other for the answers, without putting Jesus in it, you are looking in the wrong direction. This is why we see churches and ministries fall and fail. When it stops becoming about Jesus, it stops living. And I want it to keep going. So what do we have? We have a soup kitchen that God's given to us. We have the Women's Life House. We have the Women's Fresh Start Second Home. We have the Men's Home. We have the soon-to-be Children's Home. We have four homes. But there's still several houses on this block. Yeah, we have, yes. We have a building across the street, and word is getting out because people keep cornering me about the building. The county wanted to buy it, and we said no. They wanted to give us less. We do owe some money on the building. We got on a short sale. We were in the middle of buying the men's house, so we still owe some money on that, but we'll get through that. The building across the street, I believe it'll be used for some different unique things. I think it could be used for seminars and conferences. I think it could be used for some intimate concert settings where we could be different than what we have here. There's a reason why I know people in Nashville. There's a reason why I know some people in the gospel scene. It's just not happening yet for the up-and-coming and the ones. So anyway, using it across the street to be able to say, hey, we're going to be able to do a conference. We're going to be able to do a night where we can talk to parents and that are blended. So that you got a husband and wife that got married and they have children from previous marriage or whatever. So it's a blended family coming together. How do you do that in a Christian way? How do you do that? How do you be single and honor God with your body? How do you do that? Well, there'll be a night maybe to come over, and that night we'll have a single speaker or two that's single. It's going to share, how do you stay single and honor God with your body? Who's talking about it? We might talk about it for a second in a life group class or maybe in a sermon. That's what people are battling every day. The flesh is desiring the sexual intimacy and things of those things. There's a nature, there's a natural part of that. But God says, I want you to honor. How do you do that? Well, we'll be able to do that across the street. How do you work through it when you lose a loved one through suicide? How do you do that? Be able to do those nights. How do you do it? How do you raise children when you're not just raising your children, you're raising your grandchildren, and you're the grandparent? You know the danger of being a grandparent raising grandchildren? Grandparents don't have the fire. They don't have the oomph. They don't have the strength. And then they becomes a burden. And their love begins to fade and the anger begins to come up. We'll be able to hopefully help them. It's not that we're going to have all the people, but we'll just connect the dots. We'd love to have the police department over there and just have a night where we can just make it all about them and we can pray over them and just bring them in. And then we can bring in music. And make it something in this community that's worth going to. It's worth going to. So we'll have some things like that. And we need more offices, too, as we continue to grow. But even with the men's house, the women's house with two houses, we may, what about a men's? A second men's? What about maybe a foster care house or two? I want that apartment over there. Apartment, the 5 to 6 story part, the 6 room apartment. Know why? Because we can work with families. We can work with families. Sometimes it's not a single person. Sometimes it's a family that's going through a crisis. Somebody has a fire in their home, and they can go there. Some people turn us away because they go, I don't want to go to church. That's okay. Well, we're going to continue to share the gospel. Amen? And then there's things I'm not sure what God's got planned. He doesn't always tell you. He doesn't always have to. But I also want to let you know, it takes money to run ministry. It takes personnel. We are short personnel for the Women's Life House. Hired 2 women, and none of them has showed up for their first full day of work. We are struggling. We are struggling. So we're praying. We need to pray that God brings forth that. I think we need another male staff member as well. Jeremy puts a lot of hours in. We need to give him some more space there. I think we need to pray for that. Today is our first day for 70 days. I know it sounds good. 70 days and this year is be over. I know. Seems short. 70 days. So today we started a 70-day campaign. And you would think that we're trying to out there raise the money. We're knocking on doors. We're not. We're doing other things. The 70 days to raise $100,000 for the ministries. Our budget was $353,000 this year. We are not near it, but we are continuing to go forward because God supplies. But we're asking God to bring $100,000, no less than $100,000. Carla continues to ask, tells me, and reminds me, quit asking so small. We serve a big God. You talk about a big God and preach about a big God. Why don't you throw something big out? So we're going to do 100,000 in 70 days. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that can happen? So we know that in our offering time, I don't know if they said it, but in our offering time today, all of our offerings today go toward the ministry. That's a gift from the church. We make it all about the ministries because the church is here and the ministries are here. Church still hovers over the ministries. It's a partnership. I also want to remind you that all the buildings that we own, the church owns. That's to keep Jesus in the ministries. Okay? So the church owns all the ministries, all the homes, everything. But sometimes, someone told me one time, I want to give to the ministries, but I feel like my first responsibility is to the church. And it's true. But I don't have enough to give to the ministry, and that's fine. This is why we do this, to give everybody an opportunity to say, I gave to the ministries. So today, all the offerings, it looks like we already took offering. And we're going to have altar call here in a minute. If you want to put something else in, that's great. But I'm going to ask you that you pray about the ministries, we're short staffed, we need help. We need $100,000 minimum. Maybe you need to get your love back for the Lord. Maybe that's part of it. Like, man, just when you talked about just my love for him is just not there. I want to serve. Maybe you want to serve. If I'm just telling you, do you think that you might could do better in your relationship with Christ right now? Do you think that you might be able to be more part of what we're doing? We had revival this week, and I was a little upset on Tuesday, thinking we should have had a great crowd. But God, he whipped me up on it a little bit and said, quit looking at that. I want you to focus on me. So when I took my focus off of who wasn't here, he showed me that he has something more important. Because this is what I want to tell you. God's better with people than I am. Amen. But he wanted me to see that, seeing the lake in Colorado, he hadn't been there to hear the preaching. That's where we are now, but he has some peaks that he wants us to go to. It's going to take a little more trust, a little more faith, a little more work. And I'm willing to do it. And I hope you are too. So let's stand this morning. When today is about the ministries, we need to talk about the ministries. That's what we've done. That's what we're doing. Sometimes the scripture, sometimes we see we need a fresh anointing. Sometimes we go to the altar because we just need a fresh touch of the Lord. Sometimes we just need a fresh anointing. Sometimes we just need to come back to Him. It's hard to lead others to Him when you need Him as a doctor yourself. So this is our time. This is our ministry day. You want to come, you want to do something. Whatever it is, partnering for the next 70 days in prayer, starting your day, first day, praying that we're going to reach that $100,000 point. Because I will just tell you, January, February, March are really hard for us. You want to pray for our women's program? Great. You want to pray for our children's program that's coming up? You need to pray about that. Pray for our men's program. It's still fresh and new. There is a reason. I'm not trying to put any words in anybody's mouth. But there are 6 preachers that come to this church, if I remember right. 6. A church this size does not get 6 preachers. There's a reason for it. I believe each one has a place to serve. And God has an opportunity for each one. That means 6 preachers is 6 preacher wives. I believe there's more that God's going to do here. And you are blessed as a church to have that. Did you know that? You are blessed to have that many preachers in a church. Use them. Don't abuse them, but use them. Pray for them. you'd like to teach a class, I think we have a class that you can teach at the men's house. One of you guys. Doesn't take a lot of time. Same thing for the women's side. I think there's always an open spot for teaching over there. They would love to have a break as well. I'm not going to keep you forever. Be a helping people. Make changes in their lives. Doesn't get better now with Jesus, does it? As we're all going back, I know we got some singers coming up. I just want to ask you this. You that work in ministry is scary sometimes, isn't it? Amen. Come on now. And ministry, really getting into ministry is really scary. But that's the testing spots. Are you going to let it win? Or are you going to do what God calls you to do? Amen. I'm going to do what God calls us to do. Amen.
You bring up your tithe and offering.
That you feel good to be in the house of the Lord today. You never know what's happening here sometimes. I think that's a good thing, hopefully. But we did have a trunk or treat thing, I think our ministries was a part of on Friday. So thank you, Brittany. You were a part of that. Evan and Ian were both part of that. So that was great. The young ones volunteered for that. And I think who else was there? Savannah and Scott. So thank you guys for doing that, representing the ministry. So thank you guys for that very much. Also, Lisa, you're going to come on up here.